98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:04 in the morning, Mid-Columbia Today. I'm Mark Bailey, Cameron Eisenberg producing this morning, and the rain has arrived. I know it was rainy when I got up this morning. I don't know if it's raining right now outside our studio in Hood River on the Heights. But it could be raining somewhere that where you are listening. It's supposed to be a rainy weekend now. We are arriving truly into fall at this point. Here's what we're doing this morning. Mark Steigner, Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association. We will talk to him. It's the fall season for CGOA. They've got a number of events coming up here in the next few weeks, including they've got a big cabaret fundraiser coming up in November. Something they did last year, they're doing it again, so we'll talk to Mark about that. And a couple other things they're doing. Second half of the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Eric Anderson from Providence Hood River Cancer Center. He's an oncologist. And we're going to talk to him some about, apparently there are some trials being done at the Hood River Cancer Center for Providence. And we'll talk about what they're doing. So that is coming up on Mid-Columbia Today as we go along over the course of the next about 1 hour of radio time. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1910, a coal dust explosion at the Starkville Mine in Colorado left 56 miners dead. 1962, Uganda won autonomy from British rule. 1963, a mega tsunami triggered by a landslide at a dam in northern Italy destroyed villages and caused about 2,000 deaths. 1967, Marxist revolutionary guerrilla leader Che Guevara, at the age of 39, executed by the Bolivian army a day after his capture. 1985, Strawberry Fields in New York Central Park, a memorial to former Beatle John Lennon was dedicated. This day in 2009, President Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize for what the Norwegian Nobel Committee called his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. 2010, a drill broke through into an underground chamber where 33 Chilean miners had been trapped for more than 2 months. And in 2012, former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky was sentenced in Belafonte, Pennsylvania, to 30 to 60 years in prison following his conviction on 45 counts of sexual abuse of boys. Days for today, it is Fire Prevention Day, which is always something we have to think about around here, but hopefully if it's going to be rainy this weekend, let's have it rain enough where we can start to put this fire season truly to bed. It is Ombuds Day today, as you know, we salute those who are ombudsmen out there in those positions. It is World Sight Day today. It is also National Sneakers Day today, saluting the wonderful footwear. And it's Curious Events Day for some reason. Not sure why, but didn't have any explanation to it. But lately, it sure seems like every day has been Curious Events Day, doesn't it? But today in particular. Our food and drink today, we'll start out with the first one that's, well, I know that there's mold in cheese. It's National Moldy Cheese Day today. Again, there was no explanation as to this. It did show a picture with moldy cheese on a cracker that did not look appetizing at all. I understand blue cheese, that's part of the deal, but this didn't look like blue cheese. This looked like cheese that had been sitting in the fridge for a while. Now, of course, all you got to do is cut it off, and then it's you find cheese again. A little further down the road, things I'm much more likely to celebrate here. It is Submarine Hoagie Hero Grinder Day, however you want to say it, but a big sandwich. I guess I lean to hoagie. Or sub sandwich with, you know, hero grinder, especially the hero sandwich. Out here on the West Coast, I don't recall that term being used much, or grinders. Hoagies and subs usually are what you hear around here. Maybe I'm wrong, but at least that's my observation. And finally, here's one that I know a lot of people will, if they don't celebrate, will celebrate it over the weekend. It is International Beer and Pizza Day today. Not just national, but International Beer and Pizza Day. Which I guess means it's doubly important that you get the chance to observe this. Or maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe it means you're supposed to have an international beer and some pizza. It's all in how you read it and the inflections you give in it. International Beer and Pizza Day. International Beer and Pizza Day. It then becomes two different things. I don't know why I felt like I had to explain that. I guess I just did. I'm worried about the Dodgers again. That's why, folks. Yeah, this is going to continue until they're either out or they win the World Series, by the way, with me. Either eventually you're eliminated and then there's a finality to it and you move on, or they win the World Series and then it's great relief at that point and joy and happiness, etc. But last night did not go well when they had a chance to sweep the series of the Phillies, but they get another chance this afternoon to nail it down. They need to, because otherwise it's back to Philadelphia for Game 5, and you Mariner fans out here in the Northwest know about that. Game 5, and they have to face Tarik Skoudal on Friday at 5 o'clock at the... It's T-Mobile Park now. Used to be Safeco Field. You know, it depends on whose sponsorship contract's in effect anymore with the names of a lot of stadiums these days. The big baseball stadium in Seattle probably would suffice. But anyway, and the Mariners, they had a 3-0 lead yesterday, and then all of a sudden Detroit's offense, which had been dormant not just in this series but for the better part of 6 to 8 weeks, suddenly came alive, and they put 9 on the board. George Kirby will go for the Mariners tomorrow. We'll have Eagles in Milwaukee while that game is going on. The latter part of that game will be going on while the Eagles kick off at 7. Mariners are at 5, so you might watch that on television and listen to us with a football game. Well, anyway, it's 8:11 in the morning. When we come back, we are scheduled to have Mark Steigner with us talk about Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association's fall events. We'll do that after this.
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help. With rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
I don't think anybody ever expects to hear that their child has cancer. It's always one of those things that happens to somebody else. But it definitely feels like your soul is sucked out of your body when they tell you that it's your baby. I knew that St. Jude was a children's hospital. I knew that no one ever received a bill from St. Jude, but I in no way understood how amazingly and completely they take care of their patients and their families. When we first got here, Hunter was in an incredible amount of pain, and St. Jude gave him the most superb care. Childhood cancer is devastating, but childhood cancer is beatable with St. Jude. To any of the donors, I would say bless you and thank you, because without the donors, St. Jude wouldn't be here.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back as it is 8:14 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now going to talk with the Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association. They've got a series of events coming up as we head into fall, and Mark Steigner joins us now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
All right, how are you doing today?
Great.
Well, let's talk about what you guys have got going on at the CGOA. And first of all, coming up here in more than a week, Saturday night, October the 18th, your very popular jazz collective Big Band is going to be back in Cascade Locks for a concert.
Yeah, we had a great time last season playing at the Pavilion in Cascade Locks. So we wanted to come back. And this year it's more of a dance than a concert, so we're encouraging people to come dance. And that's on October 18th at 7 o'clock at the Gorge Pavilion in Cascade Locks.
And it's the Jazz Collective Big Band, and this year it's called Saturday Night Swing Fever, which I guess that does indicate, you know, the type of dancing event it's going to be. It's going to be a high-energy event, it sounds like.
It always is, you know, with the Jazz Collective. It's a higher-energy group, and, you know, we have quite the following of people that like to come and dance. You know, it's rare to find a live big band around here to dance to, so we provide that service.
Now, by the way, what defines a big band, by the way? I mean, I know the big band era, I know that, and in the type of music, et cetera. But
right.
what defines it?
When jazz started, mm-hmm. I mean, it started with kind of small groups, right? So you'd have a rhythm section and, you know, maybe a saxophone and a trumpet and a trombone. And, you know, in the early 1920s, that began to grow to a larger group of instruments. And by the 1930s, it was pretty well established as a big band because it had five saxes, four trombones, or three trombones, and four or five trumpets. So that's kind of been the defining instrumentation of a big band for, 100 years now.
Mm-hmm. And well, the other thing I think when I hear that word in connection with music, you know, I think of bands like the Cherry Pop and Daddies and things like
mm-hmm.
that. And when I think jazz, I don't necessarily think of them, but is it fairly close together, those two genres?
Well, you know, swing is a subset of jazz.
Okay.
So right. I mean, swing really refers to a specific kind of rhythm, which is very characteristic of jazz, but also rock and roll in the early days and still today. I mean, a swing rhythm is sort of a long, short rhythm pattern. It's a little hard to define.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of know it when you feel it. And, so swing is really a rhythm that the kind of music has its foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after swing and jazz, different genres took up that rhythm. It's kind of, I would say it's one of the defining sounds of American music.
So tickets for the event on the 18th in Cascade Locks, you can go to gorgeorchestra.org and do this for everything we're going to talk about here. $15 for tickets, $10 Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association members, and I do note on the release I got about this one specifically, advanced ticket purchases are recommended for this one.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure what the seating capacity is at the Pavilion, but I think it's somewhat limited, so always a good idea to act early and get tickets for everything we do ahead of time. And great time, by the way, to join CGOA because you get discounted tickets for the entire season. So now that we're beginning the season, it's a great time to join up.
Well, I will ask then, how do you join the Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association?
I go to gorgeorchestra.org, and there's a button right there on the homepage to join. And we have different levels of membership for individuals and families and seniors, so it's really pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Also, we should note, and this goes for not just the event here at the big band event, but some of the others we'll mention as well. At many of the events, the association, there are discounted tickets for SNAP card holders to give an opportunity for those folks to attend.
That's absolutely true for SNAP card holders, and we also have free tickets for students. for all the performances except for the stages performance. But everything else, we have free student tickets with ID. So that high school, college, free tickets for students.
All right. So those are all available. Moving on, November the 8th, I know you did this last year. I don't remember how long you guys been doing this, but as a fundraiser for the association, you are going to do a cabaret event. This will be November 8th at the Ruins.
Yeah, this is our second year. We did this last year for the first time. The Stages Musical Theater wing of CGOA put that on, and it was a great success. We had a sellout crowd at the Ruins. We did a paddle raise. We did auction. We had desserts. So this year, we're celebrating the 20th anniversary with performers and music from the last 20 years. So it's not just Stages. It's music from the orchestra and the Voce Choir and the Jazz Collective. And we simplified it a little bit, but there's still desserts and drinks and a paddle raise. So, yeah, this is our second cabaret. Hey. So it should be even a wider variety of musical acts this year.
You know, you mentioned, I realize I neglected to mention this. This is the 20th anniversary season of the Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association. You've been involved in it from the start. It's really grown and evolved over the years, hasn't it?
It really has. Yeah, I founded it back in 2005, and it was just the orchestra. The next year, we added the choir. And then in 2015, we added the Jazz Collective and Stages Musical Theater. So, yeah, it's grown, and I think it's one of the only arts organizations in the Northwest that sponsors all those different types of performing groups.
So, again, the fundraiser on November the 8th, the cabaret fundraiser at the Ruins, tickets for that, again, you can go to gorgeorchestra.org.
Correct.
All right, you can check that out as well. The other event that's coming up here for the fall is actually the weekend after, November 14th and 16th. Now you go up to the Y East Middle School Performing Arts Center in Odell, and this gets to the heritage of the Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association. The Sinfonetta is going to perform what is described here as a cello concerto collage.
Correct, yes, because we're doing something which we've never done, and I can't say no one's ever done it, but it seems kind of unique. We're featuring three of our cellists from the orchestra, and each one will be performing a movement from one of the three most famous cello concertos, one by Haydn, one by Elgar, and one by Dvorak. So each cellist is doing one movement, but it basically forms a cello concerto with a fast, slow, and a fast movement. So it should be a really beautiful and unique experience. They're all fantastic musicians and really beautiful music.
Is the cello as an instrument often put out in front like this?
You know, it wasn't so much until the late 19th century. You know, it was considered less of a showy instrument than the violin, which was obviously the kind of predominant solo instrument in the 1800s and in the Baroque period. But towards the end of the Romantic period, composers realized how wide-ranging and expressive the cello could be. And a lot of composers in the late 19th century and 20th century wrote cello concertos. So I think that's no longer true, but it was for a while.
I mean, the one thing I've always noted about it just as someone observing, is the size of the instrument. I would think that this is an instrument that you need. Any instrument requires a lot of skill to play well, but the cello, because just somebody of the size of what you're dealing with, I would think is a challenging instrument to learn.
I would say that all of the stringed instruments are pretty equally challenging to learn. It's a different hand position and different way of holding it, but the fingerboard, you know, is basically the same idea. So I wouldn't say it's more challenging. It's challenging in probably a different way.
or challenging just to go from venue to venue. with the...
I think the bigger you get with the string instruments, the more challenging it is to try to find space in your car, right? If you're playing the bass, you basically have to have a van or something.
Well, it's the old Robert Klein joke about his father telling him picking an instrument, and he said, pick a flute, it's
get
light.
Get a piccolo, yeah. Right.
Put in your pocket.
I remember that routine very well.
That's a classic. That's a good one to remember there. But
along with this routine about marching bands, I think that's really great.
Yes, it is. Well, of course, he was a great musician. I mean, a great, you know, his jokes about music came from a spot of knowledge. I mean, he knew his stuff.
Yeah. And he was a teacher also. He was a substitute teacher for a while.
Actually, speaking of teachers and you, because you've been involved in the association so long, did I hear this is going to be your last year?
This is my final year. I am retiring from the orchestra at the end of June, our last concert, and kind of moving on. And over the last few years, I've been handing over the conducting tasks to different ensembles, and it's been really great because Poteet is under Dan Keneally's leadership has grown quite a bit, and the Jazz Collective is being more active under Michael's directorship. The limiting factor of one person doing everything is it's just no time to do as many performances. So having separate directors really helps allow each of those groups to do more.
Well, this gets back to the growth of all this is, you know, again, as you said, it started out with the orchestra, and now there's so many different musical genres and then stages, the musical plays, et cetera, you know, it's become a really wide-ranging, you know, group of performances that get put on here, and it's busy all through the fall, winter, and spring now.
Yes, it's a challenge for our hardworking volunteers and our people that have to do front of house ticket management. I mean, it really places a lot of work on their shoulders. So we really appreciate how much work, you know, is done behind the scenes to make all these things happen, because it's not just the performers, it's people that are working, you know, on the stage and doing sound and selling tickets and solving problems and finding donors and sponsors and, you know, all those many, many things that go into it. Mm-hmm. You know, the performances are, you could either look at it as the tip of the iceberg or the end result of all of everybody's hard work. Mm-hmm. But it's a really big organization to put all this on.
Again, the Cello Concerto Collage with the Sinfonietta will be on Friday, November 14th, Sunday, November 16th, Friday evening 7, Sunday at 2, out at the Whiteys Middle School Performing Arts Center in Odell. And once again, you got Saturday night Swing Fever with the Jazz Collective Big Band, October 18th at the Gorge Pavilion at 7 o'clock, and the Big Cabaret Fundraiser coming up to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association at the Ruins in Hood River, November 8th at 6:30. All the information at gorgeorchestra.org, and there's be information also on a number of other things that are coming up for the Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association during the 2025-26 season. And again, as you mentioned, Mark, it's also a good time to join the association because you can also start to get discounts on all this.
Yeah, we have just one last one to mention, which is, you know, one of our favorites for fall and winter, which is the Voce concert. Mm-hmm. In December, on December 12th, 13th, and 14th, we're adding a third concert to that weekend because they've all been sold out, and Voce has grown to about 80 singers this year, so we're expecting very large crowds for that.
Wow. So that is coming up in December toward the holidays, and again, a chance to enjoy yourself there as well. Again, gorgeorchestra.org, get all the information. Mark Steigner's been with us. Mark, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Have a great day, Mark. And we are coming up on the bottom of the hour. When we come back, the news is next.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Did you know Skyline Health and White Salmon has its very own sports medicine doc superstar? That's right. Dr. Ryan Petering trained at OHSU, cared for professional Nike athletes, and even spent more than 15 years teaching other doctors how it's done. From sporting injuries to arthritis, he's here to help you move better, feel stronger, and keep doing the things you love. Want to live life to its fullest? Step right up and visit myskylinehealth.org. Skyline Health, world-class care right here at home.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:30 in the morning. We'll have Dr. Eric Anderson from Providence Hood River Cancer Center coming up with us in a few minutes. But first, here's what's in the news. Oregon National Guard members, according to a three-judge appellate court panel, may remain under federal control but cannot deploy to Portland. That is the panel making the decision on that, an administrative hold on the case yesterday. That's as they prepare to hear arguments this morning whether to grant a full hold based on merits of the case. President Trump mobilized 200 Oregon National Guard members on September 28th into federal service for 60 days to protect federal officers in the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement building in South Portland amid nightly protests. The troops have not entered the city. The administrative hold or stay lasts while the appellate court considers whether to issue a more permanent hold in the deployment between the battle, rather, between President Trump and Oregon and Portland. A man was arrested Tuesday evening after police received reports of shots being fired in the area of the 4th Street Grade in the eastern portion of the Dalles. The Dalles Police Chief Tom Worthy said they received a report of an adult male standing on the hillside behind a rock retaining wall and that he had fired 6 or 7 shots from a firearm. The Dalles police officers arrived in the area and detained 43-year-old Travis Stubbs. A search warrant of a residence in the 400 block of East 4th yielded several firearms, including the firearm suspected in the shooting. Stubbs was arrested for unlawful use of a weapon and recklessly endangering another person and lodged in Norcor. Worthy confirmed no one was hurt. There have been no damage reports at this point. Amid Columbia Interagency Narcotics Task Force search at the Westside Village Apartments on West 7th in the Dalles last week has resulted in charges filed against one man. The Mint team, made up of various law enforcement agencies in Wasco, Hood River, Sherman, and Gillum counties, found narcotics, cash, and unspecified number of guns. Mint detectives charging 63-year-old man with unlawful delivery and possession of Schedule II controlled substances and unlawful delivery and possession of methamphetamine, among other charges, including being a felon in possession of a firearm. Mint officials indicating additional charges or arrests are likely. The man was booked at Norcor and has appeared before a judge and has been released pending further legal action. Two lost hikers rescued from a closed-off and rugged overgrown trail in the gorge early Wednesday morning. Multnomah County Sheriff's officials say the hikers were cold and thirsty, but otherwise in good condition when they were found. The Sheriff's Office said the hikers had an app that displayed their GPS coordinates, which they texted to a deputy. It showed them near the Rock of Ages Trail, a rugged, overgrown area that has remained closed since the 2017 Eagle Creek fire, the trail known for its steep cliffs and challenging terrain. After they were found, the hikers were given water and jackets before being escorted back down to the car at their trailhead. Mid-Columbia Mornings time is 8:33 in the morning.
Voted best in the Gorge, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air keeps your home comfortable year-round. Hi, I'm Kimberly, and whether it's heating, cooling, or plumbing, our expert team is here when you need us most. From repairs and installations to our exclusive monitoring and plumbing memberships, we help prevent problems before they start. Our customers trust us for fast service, honest advice, and quality work every time. Experience why we've earned your votes in Best of the Gorge. Call A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today, CCB 203004. Your comfort starts here.
Noticing a painful bump at the base of your big toe that makes it hard to walk, shop, or enjoy family time? That could be a bunion, and you don't have to live with the discomfort. I'm Dr. McMahon with Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center. We offer non-surgical treatments and advanced surgical options to relieve pain and get you moving again. Visit cosmc.org or call 541-296-2294. Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center in the Dalles and Hood River, where our goal is getting you back to being you.
Fall into fun at the Hood River County Fairgrounds at the annual Harvest Craft Show, where creativity, community, and cozy vibes come together. Nearly 100 vendors fill four buildings, the Community and Summit buildings, plus both gyms at Y East Middle School next door. Find delicious food, handmade treasures, early holiday gifts, and all the fall feels while supporting local artists and makers. Bring the whole family. It's festive, friendly, and full of local flavor. Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4 at the Hood River County Fairgrounds. Don't miss it.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back. It is now 8:35 in the morning. We're joined now by, from Providence, Hood River Cancer Center oncologist, Dr. Eric Anderson. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. And Eric, I understand that at Providence, Hood River, there are some trials being done involving breast cancer patients. So enlighten us of what's going on.
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for letting me talk about this. So, so the way that we advance cancer care sort of throughout the world is by doing clinical trials where we try out new treatments to help people with various kinds of cancer live longer and live better and beat their cancer. And when I first came out here to Providence Hood River Cancer Center a little over 2 years ago, this was one of the things that I really wanted to do, was to bring clinical trial access to people at home, near their home, and not have them have to go into Portland or Seattle or further afield in order to get the top quality and cutting edge cancer care. Mm-hmm. And so just this spring, we were able to open up our first round of clinical trials in breast cancer. We have two trials that are open right now. One is for very early stage low risk breast cancer, asking if we can get away with a less toxic, less intensive treatment and still cure these women with their early stage low risk breast cancer and provide them fewer side effects in the process. And the other one is on the other end of the spectrum for women with more advanced high-risk hormone receptor-positive breast cancer. And this one is asking if adding immunotherapy to chemotherapy, which helps use the person's own immune system to attack cancer cells, can improve outcomes and decrease their risk of their cancer coming back.
I'll start with just first being able to bring clinical trials to an area like here. As you mentioned in the past, you have to go to Portland or Seattle or pick your larger metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Given, you know, the nature of many things today, our ability to do things on the internet, et cetera, has it made it easier and possible for these sort of things to happen?
It has made, I think the thing that's made this most possible to happen is our partnership and with the Providence Cancer Center in Portland,
right. Mm-hmm.
Who has been extremely supportive in terms of expanding clinical trial access across as much of Oregon as possible. And so it's been really great working with the doctors and nurses and other support staff in the clinical trials group there that have helped me bring these trials out here.
Let's start with the first that you mentioned, which was, this was for, it sounds like, early stage breast cancer.
Correct. Early stage, what's considered low risk breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. And so what's, what's treatment like now before we get to the trial part?
Yeah.
I mean, what is the common treatment these
days? Common treatment for women with early stage hormone receptor positive breast cancer involves surgery of some sort, whether it's a lumpectomy or mastectomy, possibly radiation. And then they would go on to either 5 or 10 years of treatment with an anti-estrogen drug like tamoxifen or an aromatase inhibitor. Those drugs have pretty significant side effects, hot flashes, joint and muscle aches, can cause osteoporosis, and can also increase the risk of developing endometrial cancer in some women. The very well tolerated, but taking that medication for 5 to 10 years can be really difficult on some women, and a lot. It's the data suggests that less than half of women complete the recommended treatment. Mm. The clinical trial that we're doing is actually using a lower dose of tamoxifen, which we know from previous trials reduces dramatically all of those side effects, and in some non-controlled trials may actually be just as effective as the higher dose that has a lot of those same side effects. Mm.
Yeah, does this work? I admittedly, when I think about breast cancer and in medicines, I hate to do this, but
that's okay.
TV commercials,
because
there's one especially that apparently I cannot get away from. And I think you know what I'm talking about. I have to describe this, but is that in this area here?
So there's probably a couple that I think you're thinking
of. Okay, there's a couple. Okay.
One is probably a drug like Verzenio or Kisqali. I think those are the ones I've seen a lot on.
Yeah.
Those are for more advanced, higher-risk hormone receptor-positive breast cancers. That's kind of the middle of the road between the two trials that I have right now. Yep.
So I thought of those when I started talking about it. But
And those provide even more side effects. And so when appropriate, we obviously use those drugs.
Right.
But the goal here in medicine and oncology in general is to pick the best treatment for every individual person, and that's what this trial is looking at.
You mentioned one of the things. One of our regular guests on the show is a veterinarian. He always mentions with dogs, like, it's about dosage.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same for humans, isn't it? And that's kind of where this trial's going.
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the things that's really frustrating, has frustrated me for as long as I've been in oncology, is when we determine a dose for a medication in a clinical trial, we use what's called a maximum tolerated dose, meaning in early phase trials, we give higher and higher doses of a medication until people can't tolerate it anymore. We back off one dose and say, this is the right dose. This is what we need to use. But we never really know, is that the best dose, or is that just the one that most people can tolerate? Mm-hmm. And this study is actually a kind of study that's hard to do, but I think really, really important, because we're always balancing side effects and effectiveness of our cancer treatments. Mm-hmm. And so this study is actually asking, do we really need to go so big, or can we back off and let people live a better life while they're getting their cancer treatment?
How do you choose patients for it? I would imagine not everybody is appropriate for this.
Absolutely. So all clinical trials have very specific inclusion and exclusion criteria. And I don't know that we need to necessarily go over this particular one, but they're very specific. And the goal there is so that when we are looking down the road, was this effective? We can be very specific about who is the best person for this treatment, or is this treatment the best for that particular individual in front of you?
How long does a trial like this last? I know usually it's substantial.
Yeah, trials like this usually last anywhere from, this is a large randomized multi-center trial across the U.S. And so this trial's probably, I believe this one is generally considered to last in the range of 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. I do know this one has been able to accrue patients very rapidly because it's clearly an area where we're missing appropriate treatments. And so this one will probably accrue the total number of patients it needs relatively quickly.
Which actually brings up another subject, which is, as a patient, I mean, I've never had a cancer diagnosis, so I don't know what it's like to get it. I mean, if I'm a patient of something, my first thought is, I want to do what I need to do to get better, to get healthy again.
Yeah.
When you bring up with a patient that it's a trial like this, how do you mesh the two?
Yeah, so I usually, I say that here is our current standard of care for the particular disease that you have and the stage of disease that you have. And I also, if I do, have this clinical trial available that we feel is likely to be as or more effective than the current treatment with either reduced side effects or better long-term outcomes. And it's always the individual's choice, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a matter, and honestly, it's always the individual's choice to not have treatment at all if that's what they ultimately choose to do. But for me, it's about giving the people that I help take care of all of the potential options in front of them, and then help guide them through what may or may not be the best choice, and help them manage, you know, once they do ultimately make that decision.
Mm-hmm. So that was the trial that was for breast cancer that has been fairly early stage.
Correct.
You have another trial going on that is breast cancer that's further down the road.
Yes. Yeah, so these are women with larger tumors. They may have lymph nodes involved, and then they also have testing of their tumor that is looking at some of the tumor genetics, asking questions about, is this considered a genetically high-risk tumor? So we have some ways to measure that just on the tumor characteristics itself. And those women are currently being treated with chemotherapy, generally before surgery, and then they also have this anti-estrogen therapy after surgery. And we know in some other subtypes of breast cancer that the addition of immunotherapies, again, this was the one that I was thinking of. You've probably heard ads for things like Keytruda and Opdivo.
Yeah, there you
similar.
Go.
Similar. Yep,
yeah,
exactly.
I've heard of those, yeah.
Yeah, so right now for women with triple negative breast cancer, we know that adding those drugs dramatically improves survival. And so we're asking that question for these women with higher risk hormone receptor positive breast cancers. Are they also benefiting from the addition of immunotherapy?
Mm-hmm. It would the hope be that by using immunotherapy, I mean, chemotherapy brings us so many side effects.
Correct.
Again, it depends on what you're doing. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still, you know, it's difficult.
I think it's
fair to say. Is the hope that if immunotherapy can be effective to reduce that chemotherapy and that impact on the patient?
Yeah, ultimately the goal here is to be able to use a sort of lower intensity chemotherapy along with the immunotherapy and get as good or better outcomes with less toxicity.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that for the first trial, getting patients fairly, you know, large numbers, et cetera. For something like this, I would think maybe it gets a little more difficult because we're talking about people who it would seem the risk of a negative outcome is far greater here.
Yeah. So right now, the biggest issue that we're running into in accruing for that trial is the limited number of people who actually qualify.
Yeah.
So it's a smaller population. My experience, though, has been once you say, hey, you know what, immunotherapy might be an option for you on this study, people are jumping at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Immunotherapy is one of these, it's been a real game changer in treatment of a lot of different subtypes of cancer. And so it's an exciting area right now.
You know, one day, of course, we hope not to be talking about this at all.
I'd love to.
At some point. What else is cutting edge out there? I mean, what's coming down the road? Because certainly, you know, the prognosis from breast cancer when I was a child 50 years ago to today is far different and far better than it was then, but we're not there yet.
We are not there yet. Yeah, so the things that are exciting things that are coming down the road, obviously immunotherapy in combination with chemotherapy, some targeted therapies in certain kinds of cancer, again, combined with immunotherapy or chemotherapy. Those are areas where we're still, you know, we're learning how to combine medications for better effectiveness and less toxicity. And so there's a lot of clinical trials in a lot of different disease states that are looking at that right now. Mm-hmm. And then I think early detection. You know, that's early detection is a key. We're working on, you know, there's tons of clinical trials out there looking for blood-based tests for early detection of what are called multi-cancer detection tests. I wish they were there yet. Just the data hasn't been quite there yet.
I assume most detections in breast cancer come through a mammogram, don't they?
Correct.
But those have also improved and become better.
The technology for mammography and using AI-assisted tools for helping to look at mammograms and identify abnormalities that might sneak by that are hard to see has been a real game changer, too.
You just use the AI term. how can AR possibly, AI, how could it be beneficial in our fight against cancer?
Yeah, so a couple of ways. One, looking at that using AI to help analyze images, mammograms, CT scans, x-rays. Another way that it's being used is in drug design, so rational drug design. For decades, you know, medicinal chemists have been using sort of, they've been tweaking things on their own, just looking at pictures basically on their computer, and AI is able to run through hundreds of thousands or millions of possible molecules in seconds and give, and then spit out, hey, try this drug, see if this works. So I think those are a couple areas where there's a lot of potential for AI.
One area though that I know hasn't changed is the importance of early detection.
Absolutely. Early detection's key.
You know, so again, screening, self-examination,
yep,
et cetera.
Absolutely.
To be able to do that.
Absolutely.
You're also telling me, I mean, you're fairly new here in
yeah.
Hood River, but you've got a new oncologist actually now.
Yeah, I do. We've been very fortunate to hire a new oncologist, Dr. Ashley Schubert. She just joined us 2 weeks ago. I've been here for about 2.5 years, and it has just been an absolute joy being here and being part of the community. And I've been so busy that, you know, I wish I wasn't so busy, but
yeah.
Now I'm going to be not quite so busy because Dr. Schubert's joined mm-hmm. us. She's very excited to be here. Everybody so far is very excited to have her. And so,
yeah, well, with all these advances, you know, I imagine, again, you're very busy. As someone who's doing this, even bringing on a second, are there enough oncologists out there right now?
There are not. So that's a great question. So this is an area, a shortage of oncologists generally, mm-hmm. But especially in areas like the Gorge, rural and semi-rural areas, mm-hmm. it is really, really hard to recruit people. I mean, before I came on, there was about a 2-year recruitment before I was able to be hired. I've been trying to hire another mm-hmm. oncologist ever since I joined 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
Recruitment is hard. A couple of years ago in a prior position, I was trying to recruit as well. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to a recruiter who said they had something like 800 open oncology positions west of the Rockies.
Wow.
Which is just insane. And the vast majority of them are in places like the mm-hmm. Gorge, which are, you know, semi-rural, metropolitan adjacent. But everybody wants to live in the city. You know, there's no shortage of medical oncologists in New York City or LA, but there are in the surrounding communities, and that's really been a hard thing to do.
Because I don't think it's demand that's a problem here.
Demand is not a problem. And it's certainly not a great place to live that's a problem here.
No, well, yeah, here,
sure.
Yeah, here, sure. Overall for rural, it's like, you know, because there is a need for a specialist in this field because people are, you know, cancer is still there.
Cancer goes everywhere. It doesn't care if you live in the city or not.
It really doesn't. Dr. Eric Anderson from Providence Hood River Cancer Center, thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
8:51 in the morning. We'll come back and wrap things up for you after this.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts, and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com. Auto repair bills are through the roof. $3,000 to replace the transmission, $4,000 for a blown engine. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all out of pocket. You need an Endurance Auto Protection Plan. No matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, AC, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done at the certified mechanic of your choice, and they're paid directly with no middleman. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, lockout services, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Act now and get our elite benefits, including complete tire care and key fob replacement, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you could never pay for covered auto repairs again, so call now for your free quote. Call 800-458-3124. 800-458-3124. 800-458-3124.
Origin Parts Forever is celebrating their 30th anniversary with the director and cinematographer Brandon Hall in a special showing of his documentary, Out There, a National Parts Story. The documentary is a 10,000-mile journey through 15 of America's national parks. Experience how these places inspire, heal, and transform lives. Origin Parts Forever is a nonprofit that raises funds to support programs that enhance and preserve Oregon's parks and forests. Director and cinematographer Brandon Hall is a renowned filmmaker that has worked with National Geographic, Adobe, PBS, and more. The showing of the film will be followed by a Q&A. Showings in the Gorge will be November 9th and 10th at the Dalles Granada Theater and the Hood River Middle School, respectively. Tickets are $15 and are available at orpartsforever.org. Profits go towards Oregon Parts Forever.
Only 1 in 5 people with disabilities, including those with autism, are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do.
Okay, try me.
What about a programmer?
That is a job for someone with autism.
What about a teacher?
That is a job for someone with autism.
Oh, how about a healthcare worker?
Yes, those are all jobs for someone with autism. The truth is, qualified people with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas and beliefs. Businesses value diversity, but sometimes don't recognize the unique strengths and abilities of the autism community. Introducing WIN, the Workplace Inclusion Now program by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
Ooh, what about a ranch hand?
Yeah!
Sure, that's a job for someone with autism too. To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win. That's autismspeaks.org/win.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And welcome back at 8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today as we begin to wrap up the program on a Thursday morning. A reminder, this evening, 6 to 8 at the Dallas Civic Auditorium, it is the Yes Youth Empowerment Shelter Fall Soiree. Hope starts here. 6 to 8 this evening at the Dallas Civic Auditorium. Food, silent auction, music by Matthew McCravey. Tickets are $25. They're available at yesshelter.org. Columbia River Gorge Quilters Guild Quilt Show is tomorrow and Saturday up at the Hood River County Fairgrounds. Open 10 to 4 each day. $6 admission there. Also, Chocktoberfest, 6 tomorrow evening at the Skamania Lodge in Stevenson, hosted by the Skamania County Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. You can listen to live music, enjoy chocolate treats, and spread awareness for domestic violence. Also, Central Gorge Master Gardeners, their garden gathering series this Saturday, hands-on pumpkin harvest workshop. Learn about raised bed gardening and trellis design. Children can enjoy pumpkin-themed activities. It starts at 10 in the morning at the Master Gardeners Learning Garden at the OSU Hood River County Extension Office on 2990 Experiment Station Drive in Hood River. And also, if you're starting to think about Christmas time, the Cherry City Marketplace will be from 10 to 5 on Saturday at the Mid-Columbia Senior Center on 1112 West 9th in the Dalles. I bring up Christmas time. We are starting to get the community calendar stuff for the various holiday bazaars out there that'll be going on over the next, over November particularly, November and into early December. Let's see, I got a couple of them here, I think, listed. At least I think they're listed right now. Maybe I don't quite yet. I thought I'd put a couple in. Well, actually, there's one. St. Peter's Altar Society, 46th Annual Holiday Bazaar, November 21st, noon to 6, November 22nd, 9 to 4 at St. Peter's Parish Church, 1111 Cherry Heights Road in the Dalles. And the other was Hood River Valley Christian Church, and I think I have not printed out my event sheet since I put them in the computer. So I know they're coming as well. And we'll be mentioning that here very, very soon. I know I put it in the computer. Only thing is, I don't think I've printed it out yet for what I keep in front of me on this program to keep me going. So I apologize there. But we're going to start getting those. Those are coming. Also, actually, we should mention, WAGAP's taking applications for their Tree of Joy. You can go to WAGAP.org and learn more. They would like those applications in from families, and they're expanding the program for Skamania and Klickitat County by the 7th of November. So go to WAGAP.org. You can learn about that. And also, they're trying to get their donors lined up by the 14th of November. So I can pass along the list to those who are going to go shopping for their for the tag they get. So anyway, so that's going on. Columbia, and I also know we should be coming up on Hood River County Christmas Project. In fact, I will give them a call to have them on here in the next few days or so. And we will bring them along, and you can learn about how you can volunteer with them and about the application process they have. They do pretty much an online process at this point. But we will talk about that. That's always a big, big event around here, which means also we're coming up with the Hood River Valley High School Canned Food Drive. That'll be coming up quicker than one realizes. I'm sure they're organizing that right now because that will be throughout the month of November into early part of December. So a lot of things coming along here. They'll be associated with the holidays. You know me if you've been out there. I don't like talking about the holidays till like we're actually into them. But unfortunately, apparently public demand makes me do otherwise. Out of time! The band is playing, so we need to leave. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.